temptation, promiscuity, marriage, homosexuality. These are some of the issues addressed in the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July, Sexual Morality in a Christless World. You can read an excerpt at issuesetc.org or find out more by calling Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. Learn the truth about sexual morality from a reasoned, Christian perspective with the Issues Etc. Book of the Month, Sexual Morality in a Christless World.
So I've taken the position, which is quite common among Catholics. I got a personal feeling about abortion, but the right rule for government is to let women make their own decisions.
Well, I'm going to ask him the same question that Lincoln put to Stephen Douglas, who essentially argued the same thing on slavery. Douglas said he was personally opposed to slavery, but thought each state should have the right to vote it up or down. So here's the question. Mr. Kane, why are you personally opposed?
Selective outrage. I know that I need to be mad because something wrong has happened. And that's true. But the last thing I'm going to do is have ownership of the problem as if I'm part of it.
New dads like getting into issues with Florida.
We often say we love our on-demand listeners. We refer to them as our beloved on-demand listeners. And it's true, although sometimes even those you love the most, you can tend to neglect. It's been a long time since we've been through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. If I'm not mistaken, the last time we dedicated anything close to an hour to it was 8 months ago, 7 months ago, something along those lines. That's an oversight on our part, and I think we need to correct it by here in the first hour of Issues Etc., going through some of our listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 27th. We always like to start with the criticism and then move on to the other comments as well. We'll be doing that here in the first hour of Issues Etc. Greetings and welcome. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're coming to you live from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. Thanks for tuning us in. In the second hour of the program, Terry Mattingly joins us. We're going to talk about media coverage of the murder of the Catholic priest in France. I don't even need to tell you what that's all about because it's a huge story. Although, if you look at the earliest reports, especially from the big news outlets in Europe, an odd thing was stated there, and that was even after the knife-wielding men slit the throat of this priest there at the altar in this church in France and then left the church with cries of Allahu Akbar, Allah is great. The reporting still said that their motives were undetermined, were unknown. It's an odd thing. We'll find out from Terry why the earliest reporting would have said that. Then we'll talk about the Democratic Convention that's still underway. Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of The Federalist will be our guests in the last half hour of the program. You can join us over the next 2 hours with your questions or comments. Our call-in number 1-877-623-MY-IE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email right here in the studio, talkback at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at issuesetc. As we say, our beloved on-demand listeners can use the Issues Etc. comment line. It's a line we leave open for you. 24-7, 618-223, 8382, 618-223, 8382. Let's start with some email here. We'd like to start on the, Jeff kind of organizes this in terms of the topic, the thumbs down pile. Let's start there.
Well, it's late summer. It's that time of year. We always get this genre of email this time of year. This comes from Ray. He says, $300 for the Making the Case audio DVD for non-conference attendees. You've got to be kidding. Thanks for listening and thanks for the email, Ray.
Well, I can completely understand why this might be a little bit shocking because $300 is a lot of money. And there's no doubt about that. And that's actually part of our rationale for making that the suggested donation for people who didn't attend the conference that summer. What we do is we have a conference every summer called the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. It's been growing over the last couple of years, and this last year we had about, close to 450 registered and somewhere in that neighborhood all actually attended, and it was an excellent conference this year as it was before. Fourth year running, we have always charged $300 for the audio DVD to people who did not attend the conference. We do also, by the way, after about 2 years, run the audio from the conference on the program when we take a vacation. So about 2 years from now, you'll be able to hear the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference audio absolutely free. But we understand that a lot of our listeners couldn't attend, didn't attend, and yet they still want to hear it, so we offer that audio DVD. We sat down and talked about this over the course of weeks when we first decided to do the conference and then offer an audio DVD to people who didn't attend. We went back and forth on what we ought to offer. It was pretty easy to decide for those who attended. We just said, let's charge them $25. That covers our costs plus a little. And that was an easy decision to make for people who did attend the conference. And we get questions about it. The minute the first speaker starts speaking, someone will approach us and say, are you going to have this on audio DVD? Are you going to have this on audio DVD? And the answer is yes. And since you attended the conference, it only cost you $25. That covers our cost. The hard decision was how much to charge people who didn't go to the conference. And they didn't go because they couldn't, or because it didn't work into their schedule, or because it was too far to drive, or all those kinds of things. And we really, I'm not joking, we sat and we thought it over. We went up and down. We tried to land at a figure. And our reasoning was this. $300 is a lot of money, but that's probably less than what the average attendee spent, all said, to attend the conference. You got to remember, this is a national conference. There are not that many people locally who attend. If you were a local attendee, $100 and maybe a quarter tank of gas would have got you to the conference. $100 for the registration and a quarter tank of gas. For some people, they came from California, from New Mexico, from one person from Finland. We had one guy fly in on a fighter jet from California, I believe. So people were traveling from all over the country, and if you add it all up, what we figured when we set this price was, look, the average attendee spending considerably more in some cases, but at least more than $300 to attend the conference. And so to be fair to the attendees and to try and find a reasonable number and being fair to the attendees, for the non-attendees, that's where we came up with the $300. And we haven't raised the price in 4 years. It's always been $300 for non-attendees, and it's always been $25 for people who do attend. Anything you wanted to add to that, Jeff?
That was unbelievable, Wilkin. You did an unbelievable job. Just to summarize, do the math. $100 registration fee, mm-hmm. Two nights lodging, that's $200.
Because they pay their own lodging.
Lodging, that's $300 plus travel. That's what most people paid to attend this conference. I've got something, I think, on our Facebook page today. It's like, well, people are starving and they need, you know, the message of those presentations. Well, we offer at least 10 hours of free podcasts every day where we deal with similar topics here on Issues, etc., for free. So that's the rationale. And it's very important. It's not an audio CD. Explain the difference, Todd, and why that's important for our listeners.
There are two different formats, obviously, CD and DVD. If we put it on CDs, it would take probably 10 CDs to cover all the audio from the conference. And that would be cumbersome for you and cumbersome and expensive for us as well. We decided to do an audio DVD because it'll hold all of the conference audio in MP3 format for people who want to listen to it. Now, we actually had an email from somebody.
Well, I'm going to read that now. Before we get to more thumbs down email, this comes from Kathleen. She says, you are offering the conference messages on an audio DVD. Many of the new computers do not have DVD drives. If I bought the messages, which I would like to do, there is no way for me to listen to them.
That's a very good point. And look, I've got an optical drive in my laptop sitting in front of me right now, but it doesn't work very well. So even if I wanted to listen to the audio DVD, it would be a struggle for me. I know Jeff's laptop doesn't even have an optical drive in it at all. So that's where a lot of people are at as they're making these things thinner and smaller and lighter and easier to use. They're getting rid of all those things that weigh it down. So we were talking this one over. And maybe the best solution is to put it on a thumb drive of some kind for people who don't have an optical drive. We could offer that to them. A cheap 2 GB thumb drive would cover everything there. And, you know, the more we hear from our listeners about these kind of snags and problems that they have, the better we can and the more readily available we can make all of that audio to people who want it. Look, I'm just thankful, even though I know that people will look at $300 price tag and say, ouch. And I do, too. That's a lot of money. I'm just thankful people want to listen to the conference, even if they weren't able to attend it as well. That I'm thankful for that. It says that the guests that we brought there did exactly what we asked them to do this last year and every year before.
And this is also cyclical. It's a presidential election season. I don't know if you knew that, Todd, but it is.
Really?
Yes, it is. It is. It is indeed. And the email comes in as well, thumbs down on some of our programming.
Yeah, this is nothing new. Every election cycle, that is the major election cycle every 4 years, we hear a lot from our listeners when it comes to what they generally refer to as politics.
This, I think Patricia summarizes most of the criticism. I realize this is an election year, but it appears that the focus of issues that Cetera's programming has consistently shifted from the Word of God to politics. What happened to the mobile Lutheran Bible study? Please reconsider your calling. We are inundated by politics everywhere. What we want and need is God's Word. Thanks for listening and thanks for the feedback, Patricia.
Thank you very much, Patricia. And I'm glad you appreciate the mobile Lutheran Bible study. We try to be that on a regular basis. I will say a couple things. First of all, the primary place that Christians go to have God's Word. Look, I love that the people listen to the radio program in the droves that they do. We're on track to have. Last year we had 3 million downloads. We're on track this year, and we'll probably surpass 4 million downloads. I'm very thankful for that. I really am. But the primary place that we would direct people to go to hear God's word is their local congregation, is their local pastor. So that's the first thing I would say. That doesn't relieve us of the responsibility of doing what we do, but we're simply a supplement to that. The reason you're probably hearing more politics on the program or more political subjects on the program is precisely because this show is called Issues, Etc. We deal with all the issues that we possibly can, timely issues that we possibly can. And one of the timeliest is, in fact, the presidential election and all that goes with it. In fact, later today, we're going to be spending a whole half hour with Mark and Molly Hemingway talking about the Democratic National Convention that's still going on. We're doing that because it's top of mind, because we need to address some of the issues there, because we've got great guests like Mark and Molly Hemingway who are willing to give us a half hour every week and give us their expertise on those things. So that's probably why you're kind of sensing an increase in political topics. But I would also ask you to do this. Go to our website, to the on-demand page of our website, and just scroll down week by week. It's all there. Everything that we post is there. And just look and see, yes, at the time of the election, the proportion of politically topicked segments is going to be greater than in non-election years. But we are still offering exactly the same kind of biblical content, Word of God content that we have before. We have Christ in the Old Testament. We have Pastor Baker teaching a Sunday school lesson. We have Looking Forward to Sunday Morning. Those are the ones off the top of my head. And all of the other things. We continue to do all of those things, top three verses with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller, our worldview series with Pastor Jonathan Fisk. All of that content is still there. And what we're trying to do is squeeze in to a very busy program schedule, 10 hours a week, as much of the topical stuff that we can as well. Trying to be what we say we are, which is Issues, Etc. When we come back, we're going to spend some time with our comment line and hear from more of our listeners via email. That email address, by the way, for Good, Bad, and Ugly, talkback@issuesetc.org.
Oh, the lonely days are gone. I'm coming home. Well, my baby, she wrote me a letter.
Are you tired of working out at big box gyms? You'll find quality personal training and qualified instruction at Performance Fitness in Edwardsville. You can even work out for a full 30 days before making a commitment to join. Find out more at performancefitness618.com or call 618-692-5063. Performance Fitness is the facility in the St. Louis Metro East where the focus is on member results, not membership numbers. Performancefitness618.com.
There's a new neighbor in town. The Lutheran Federal Credit Union is open and ready to serve members of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Lutheran Federal Credit Union provides checking and savings accounts, home, car, and personal loans, on-demand mobile banking, 30,000 ATMs, and 5,000 in the co-op shared network. You'll find the modernized banking experience you need with excellent customer service and security you expect at LutheranFCU.org. LutheranFCU.org.
We're churchmen. not company men. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you wish your Lutheran school offered Latin, Greek, or logic? What about German or calculus? Right now, local Lutheran schools in two different states are utilizing Wittenberg Academy to expand their course offerings. Whether it's Latin for third graders or logic for seniors in high school, Wittenberg Academy can help. For your homeschooler or for your brick-and-mortar Lutheran school, we have solutions. To find out more, visit wittenbergacademy.org.
Those beautiful notes were just the beginning of We Praise You and Acknowledge You, O God, Concordia Publishing House's debut CD collection from Pastor Stephen Starkey, one of the most significant Lutheran hymn writers of our time. For a limited time, save 10% when you use promotional code URA. Simply visit cph.org today. Lutheran thought, Lutheran substance, Lutheran music, brought to you by Concordia Publishing House.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. It's Wednesday afternoon, July the 27th. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line here in the first hour of the program. That comment line, by the way, 618-223-8385. 618-223-8382. I'm sorry, I got it wrong. And then we also have our email address, talkback@issuesetc.org. Before we go on to talk about, we're still not to the bottom of the thumbs down pile, but I want to talk about kind of a related subject, that is Lutherans and politics. Somewhere along the line, I don't know where it was, I'm sure someone's written a doctoral dissertation on it. Somewhere along the line, a myth grew up and took hold, took root, and firmly established itself among Lutherans that Lutheran theology somehow prohibits Lutherans from talking about politics. Or Lutheran clergy from commenting on issues whereupon the Word of God clearly says, thus saith the Lord, that may be considered political issues. Back in the day, we would talk about abortion and someone would send us an email and say, you guys are getting political because you're talking about abortion. Well, abortion may be a political issue, but it's also a thus saith the Lord issue. So just because Lutherans believe in the two kingdoms, that is, that God rules the world through two different means, through his word in the church and through law and threat of punishment in the world, to two different ends, one, to save people through his word of law and gospel, and in the other kingdom, to keep order in the world through law and threat of punishment, those two kingdoms, right and left-hand kingdom. Just because Lutherans believe in this, and we certainly do, doesn't mean that Lutherans have nothing to say in that left-hand kingdom, in that kingdom of law and threat and punish, where reason has things to say. In fact, Lutherans have all the best theology to equip them to speak prudentially, reasonably in the left-hand kingdom. They do. Why wouldn't they? Well, this myth. Well, we're Lutherans. We're about salvation. We're about the gospel. And so we're not going to speak to any of those things. I have nothing to say about that. The myth is false. It just is. It doesn't bear with Lutheran history. Luther himself, he constantly had things to say in the left-hand kingdom. He's constantly making these recommendations for the left-hand kingdom. Some of them were kind of crazy, and some of them were actually rather sensible. So it doesn't fit with Lutheran history, and it also doesn't fit with Lutheran theology. We actually, the two-kingdom theology actually teaches the opposite. Not that Lutherans ought to be quiet in the public square and say nothing about political issues or even political movements or political parties or political persons. The two-kingdom theology actually teaches the opposite, that we are now free to speak there. When all we have on our side is reason, then we speak purely from reason in the left-hand kingdom, from prudence and reason. But when we have God's word on our side, all the more are we required to speak for where God says, thus saith the Lord. So we are allowed to say, you know, that whole idea of no-fault divorce that our country got involved in about 40, 50 years ago, that was a bad idea. And I can tell you, on the basis of both God's word and reason, and the evidence that is accumulated, why it was a bad idea. Why it's bad for marriage, mothers, fathers, children, the economy, all of those things. Some of those things the Bible speaks to, and some of them are mere common sense. When it comes to defending the unborn, no matter how much people want to say it's political, yeah, it may be a political issue. It may be a political hot potato, but it's also the word of God, you shall not murder. And we cannot remain silent there. You know, Lutherans have the rap, sometimes deserve, sometimes not, during the rise of Nazism, of just sitting back on their hands and letting it happen. There were some who resisted, a few, and some did sit back on their hands and let it happen. Now, you can't say, oh, those stupid old Lutherans sat back and let that happen, and then say, but we can't say anything now. So the two kingdoms theology actually not only gives us the freedom, but also in cases where God's word clearly speaks, requires us to speak in defense of our neighbor, in defense of good order, in defense of good law, in defense of all of those things that we believe God upholds in the left-hand kingdom.
And the weekly interviews with the Hemingways, Mark and Molly Hemingway, an update on the November elections, they're going to be on, as you mentioned, later today. The reason we have them on, they're both confessionally Lutheran, and they're journalists in Washington, D.C. covering these things. Now, there are times when they speak, not thus saith the Lord.
Yeah, a lot of times.
It's information. There's commentary. There's, for the interest of full disclosure, absolutely. But we do that because they do this for a living, and they're both confessionally Lutherans, solid Lutherans.
And they're really, really good guests. So we're trying to do the best for our listeners. It would be really negligent of us to know that there are two confessional Lutherans who are journalists living in Washington, D.C., who professionally cover all this stuff and not talk to them. We're really trying to do our due diligence and take advantage of the good guests that we've got.
All right, more thumbs down. Or I'm not the artiste like you. I'm not a doodler like you. You could have made a lot more money in art, don't you think?
In art?
Yeah, like graphic design.
Oh, well, yeah, maybe.
Even your doodling's really good, Wilkin. I remember you don't doodle as much because now you got the keyboard in front of you. But the old days that our former employer used to like, I was impressed with the things you used to scratch out on a legal pad. Yeah, I was extremely impressed.
Yeah, I actually went to college to teach art, and then I took my first education course and realized education was not for me.
Yeah, I can't see you and a bunch of kids.
No.
Doing art.
No.
So I digress here, but mine, if you see, it's an arrow down. It's not really a thumbs down. I'm not capable of drawing a thumbs down. You wouldn't want to see that. You wouldn't know what it means.
Yeah, but you can barely form letters. So
more arrows down email. This comes from John. He said, I enjoy listening to Issues, etc. I just finished listening to your interview with Aaron Wolf on conservatism and the deacon issue in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. You made it sound like deacons were bad. I agree that deacons are not pastors and should not be preachers or lead the sacraments. But is there a role for them in the divine service? Can they minister to shut-ins, teach a Bible study, or read the Word of God in divine service? I am considering the deacon program in Michigan simply to help the pastor in anything from pulling weeds, leading an outreach activity, working at vacation Bible school, visiting the sick, whatever might ease his load. I would seek this training as a call in my life. I would work only in my calling as trained by the Synod and confess in the Book of Concord. Again, thanks for Issues, etc. The Lutheran theology has enriched my life, and Jesus has set me free. Thanks for the email, John.
John, thank you. I'd say go for it. You desire a noble task, even if it's not the office of the pastor. I have nothing against deacons. In fact, I serve in a parish that for several years running had a consecrated deacon, a layman, who was trained in theology and who was consecrated by the congregation to do those very things, to be in charge of the education of the young. He read in the liturgy. He would assist in the distribution of communion. He would do all sorts of other things. And if there was a time when the pastor couldn't go see someone, he would go see them, those kinds of things. So all in favor of deacons rightly understood. What we were dealing with in that conversation with Aaron Wolf and what the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod was dealing with in its recent convention was not that kind of deacon. It was the licensed lay deacon in which men were essentially acting as pastors without the benefit of ordination, and we were calling them deacons. We, you know, 27 years of not being honest in what we were doing was corrected there about 2 weeks ago in Milwaukee, or at least a step was taken toward correcting it so that we could make a clear distinction between what you desire to do and the pastoral office. So I say, go for it, go get your training, go learn your stuff, and help your pastor out as a deacon. It's a good thing, and it goes for the deaconesses too. It just means servant, and it sounds like you're ready to go.
Hi, Pastor Todd. I'm calling about the Issues Etc. broadcast you had on women being drafted. I'd just like to point out that if women are going to vote for wars, then they should be willing to participate in the wars that they vote for. I don't think it's fair that they enjoy the prerogatives and privileges of manhood while not shouldering the responsibilities. I think you have a great show. I feel that the Lutheran Church is misguided on this issue, and that women really should man up if they're going to want to vote.
Okay, so if I understand you correctly, you're saying that the that the privilege of voting should come with the responsibility of being drafted or serving in combat in the military. I completely disagree. First of all, voting is a right of, it hasn't always been a right of women, but it has been a right of women in the United States for a long time now. And I don't think it ever was the rationale that if you get to vote, then you get to, then you also have the responsibility of serving in the military. Now, if the country wanted to do that and say only those willing to serve in the military have the right to vote, then that's fine. You got to figure out what to do with people who are too old to serve in the military or people who are unfit to serve in the military for some other reason. But if that's what they wanted to do, they could certainly do that. Make a stipulation there. But that is not something our country has done. And I am uncomfortable with the notion that women need to take the responsibility of men. That's precisely what's wrong with women in combat or with the idea of drafting women into combat, is that we are laying upon them the responsibility of men. And look, it's not that women can't bear that responsibility, but it's that it's as simple. Women aren't men. We don't make men bear the responsibility of women, and we shouldn't make women bear the responsibility of men. Now, we can disagree about what those responsibilities might be, what those lists of responsibilities might be, but I think that's precisely what's wrong with the thinking, where we say, look, we're interchangeable, men and women. As to whether or not women should be able to vote, I think voting is a great thing. Voting is a good thing. But I don't think our country has ever tied it to a responsibility to serve in combat. When we come back, more of your email and the Issues Etc. comment line on this Wednesday, July the 27th. Our comment line, 618-223-8382.
Communication's never been as easy as today. And it would make me happy when you've gone so far away.
A biblical woman doesn't live for herself. She lives according to the word of her Savior and at the mercy of her Heavenly Father.
Adrian Dorr-Hines, speaking at the 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
She holds Christ to his promise that he will forgive her on account of his cross, and she moves forward in faith, trusting that she will care little for herself and a lot for her Lord and for those that he has placed around her. She is both humble and hardy, an armchair theologian, and a discerning believer. She cares for her home and her husband, her children and friends, and she knows that this work is not always glamorous.
You can listen to Adrian's presentation, Making the Case for Biblical Womanhood, on an audio DVD from the Making the Case Conference. We'll send it to you for a donation of $300. Find out more and order by clicking the DVD logo at our homepage, issuesetc.org.
Trinity Lutheran Church in Vilonia, Indiana, is a mighty fortress that stands as a bulwark against the attacks of the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. We are located in Jackson County, about 2 miles south of historic Fort Vilonia on State Road 135. Join us every Lord's Day for Sunday school and Bible class at 8:30 and divine service at 9:30. Come and receive the gifts of forgiveness, life, and salvation from God's Valiant One, Jesus Christ, who has conquered death and holds the field forever.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Luther had Wartburg. We have Collinsville. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one's study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess? And then B, is this the right place? And, well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision?
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission at ctsfw.edu. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin, going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line. The Issues Etc. book of the month for July is called Sexual Morality in a Christless World. We were talking before about how Christians have a responsibility to speak to these issues, some of them moral, some of them a matter of life and death, from God's Word and from reason in the left-hand kingdom. That's a part of the angle that you'll find there in this book from Concordia Publishing, How Sexual Morality in a Christless World. It is on every page of our website, issuesetc.org, or call Concordia Publishing House and order this book, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040, Sexual Morality in a Christless World, the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for July.
I think this is the last one on the arrow down email. Carol writes, I woke up last night and could not sleep, so I turned on Issues Etc. and listened from 3 a.m. until 9 a.m. this morning about funerals. Now, I can think of nothing but funerals. Your brother, who you said died, and all the other examples of people dying you gave. This was your interview with Pastor Will Whedon. I went to church today, and my brain is like scrambled eggs with thinking about all the stuff you said. How you could not see your brother's body because of his accident. How your family is split apart with your daughter on the East Coast, and how your parents are gone. I struggle with wanting and wondering how much longer my parents have. 1 hour of funeral stuff would have been sufficient enough. But whoever made the stupid decision to broadcast all those shows at once, did they think it might be too much for one person to hear all at once? My brain is so full of the stuff you said. You seem so joyful about Christ at times, I don't understand it. Funerals are awful. I just went to one. It was horrible. Yet you made it sound like the Christian funeral is a happy occasion because they are with the Lord. Are you for real? I am suffering with this funeral crap in my head now. No thanks to you. Thanks for the feedback, Carol.
Well, Jeff, you got to take blame for being the in her words, the stupid person who decided to run all those in a row. What we actually do is we have Lutheran Talk Radio, which is our 24/7 Best of Issues Etc. channel. It runs at our website. The player's right there at the top of the website. You click play, and you'll hear what's playing right then, Best of Issues Etc. And we do arrange those series, and that was a series. One of many series on the liturgy we've done with Pastor Will Whedon, and we were doing the liturgy of sickness, death, and dying. I think that was what it was, and that was part of that series where we had the funeral series. And the reason we do it in multiple parts is because Pastor Whedon, being an expert in these things, wants to go into as much detail as he can explaining the various parts of whatever liturgy we're talking about. In the case of that series, we were talking about the funeral, and it takes some explanation. And I hope you really did listen for those hours, and I appreciate that you did, to hear what Pastor, the main message of what Pastor Whedon was saying there, which is the message of the Christian funeral is not just death. It certainly is death. That's the law of the Christian funeral. It is also resurrection in Jesus Christ. And I disagree with you. I respectfully disagree with you that funerals are terrible. They are terrible, but they're also, and ask any Christian who's attended one, they are also wonderful because they proclaim the resurrection, not only of Jesus Christ, but of the one who has died, whose life we remember and whose death we mourn, whose loss we mark. So it has that two-edged quality to it. And I hope that came through in that series with Pastor Will Whedon. Again, the reason we run all of those in a row is not to hammer a point home, but because it's a series of conversations. And people, when they listen to those series, generally want to hear all of them in a row. That's what we do at LTR, Lutheran Talk Radio, which is our 24/7 Best of Issues, etc. station. You can tune in anytime, except during the live hours of Issues, etc. As soon as this is over at issuesetc.org, we're going to go right back to where we were in the Best of Issues, etc. at issuesetc.org.
And on the Lutheran Public Radio mobile app, which you can listen to our 24/7 talk station, Lutheran Talk Radio, or Lutheran Public Radio, Sacred Music for the World.
Lutheran Talk and Lutheran Music, both of those stations are 24/7.
Hearing a lot from people who love it. They're traveling a lot on summer vacations. They have the app. They listen in their car, listen to some Lutheran music, listen to some Lutheran talk. It's all there in one place. All right. Now we move on from the arrow down email to the emails with question marks.
I don't know. What do those mean?
Well, you'll find out. I think it's Jens. As I've read your Issues Etc. journal article, I notice you always sign Versind a la Bettler. Can you explain the story behind it? I am very thankful for Lutheran Public Radio, and Issues Etc. is my favorite podcast. Thanks for the feedback, Jens.
Thank you very much. I have been signing my correspondence that way for, oh golly, it has to be at least 20 years now. It predates this program. I think I started it's been 25 plus years. I think I began signing my correspondence that way my very first year as a parish pastor. It is a phrase from Martin Luther. It means we are all beggars. Sometimes it has a short version, which is just wir sind Bettler, we are beggars. It's taken from, and this is one of the stories surrounding Luther's death. We're actually going to be talking about this in a couple of weeks with Dr. Ken Scher about Luther's death and telling that story about after Luther had died, there were several of his writings discovered in his clothes or on his person, in his pockets. One of them was a rather longer thing that we won't go into, and the other one was just this little note that just said, Wir sind alle Bettler, hoc est verum, which is in German and Latin, we are all beggars, this is true. And I always thought that that was a great summary of Luther's general approach to theology and God's Word, that we are beggars, everything we have is given to us freely as a gift, that we offer God nothing, but that everything we have is given totally out of His mercy. We come empty-handed. He fills those hands with all of His good things for the sake of Christ. And that's why I sign it, Wir sind alle Bettler. And I understand when people read it, if they don't know German, then they might be a little bit confused, but it occasions the question in the first place.
Here's a programming suggestion. It comes from Michelle. I'd love it if there was a looking forward to Sunday morning that was shorter, a little more focused on the basics, and aimed at elementary age children to help them prepare for Sunday. Love what you guys do. Thank you for doing it.
Well, that's a great suggestion. We do two different Looking Forward to Sunday mornings. We do one that follows the historic lectionary, which repeats every year, so it's called the one-year lectionary. We do that with Pastor David Peterson. We've completed that 1 year, more or less. We're filling in the gaps as the weeks come by. And then we do the same, Looking Forward to Sunday morning, with Dr. Carl Fakencher, where we follow the three-year lectionary that repeats every 3 years. And that's a longer project with Dr. Fakencher. And those are aimed at everybody, and you're right, they're geared towards adult listeners who want to be ready for Sunday morning when it comes up, and all we do is we just walk through the propers. which is the readings and the various things that change Sunday to Sunday. And we have a brief explanation of each one. I think the idea of doing one for children is a fantastic idea. And you're right, it would have to be shorter, it would have to be simpler, and probably more to the point than the adult versions, the adult listener-oriented ones that we do. The question there would be, we're then faced with the same question we're faced with on Looking Forward to Sunday Morning. Do we do both lectionaries? Because if we do one or the other, people will say, why aren't you doing that, the lectionary I hear on Sunday morning? And then the guests as well. But those kind of suggestions.
I'm speaking as a parent here, right? First of all, I highly recommend that you read the lessons for Sunday in your home. We do as part of our Jesus time and the hymn of the day. So it's not the first time your children have heard these readings or sang this hymn when you walk in the doors for the divine service Sunday morning. And a great way as a parent to help lead those devotions would be listening yourself and digesting Dr. Vikencher or Pastor Peterson on the lectionary. Another thing is, we also do the Sunday school lessons with Pastor Tom Baker. That is specifically aimed for Sunday school teachers, and it's more the elementary age listener. And Pastor Baker does a great job of simplifying the lesson. And I'll give you an example. Jack, I think Jack's going into, was he, fourth grade?
He's your kid. I don't know.
I was like, so I'll bet you, what did you talk about? Paul and Silas in prison today? And he looked at me like, how did you know? How did you know? It's like, because Pastor Baker talked about it. So if your children go to Sunday school and they're using the excellent Christ-centered cross-focus curriculum, Sunday school curriculum, Growing in Christ, Pastor Baker's weekly teachings would be extremely helpful as a parent.
It's not going to follow necessarily the the readings, but it will completely follow, if the kids are using that curriculum, it will completely follow that. That prepares everybody for it.
And sometimes they have, CPH has followed the readings with the three-year lectionary. Not all the time, but sometimes that happens as well. Bill writes, why is it, and this Bill's talking about your interview last week with Pastor Paul McCain on the Lord's Prayer petition from Luther's Large Catechism. And he says, Bill says, why is it that most congregations and pastors race through the Lord's Prayer? I thank God for giving me a teacher who would make us repeat the prayer until we spoke it slow enough before dismissing us for the day. Thanks for the email, and thanks for listening in Hastings, Nebraska. Bill.
Oh, golly, you've touched upon one of my personal pet peeves, which is pastors who hurry through everything or anything. That's the first thing. We have field workers at our congregation that, because we're local to one of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod seminaries, they send guys over to get Sunday morning experience as much as they can, given their place as seminarians. And one of the first things I tell all of our field workers, even though I'm not officially in charge of them, I just get to watch, I tell them, you'll notice something here at Trinity, that's the congregation where I serve as assistant pastor. We aren't in a hurry. There's no reason to be in a hurry on Sunday morning. The clock is not our God. It's not our taskmaster. There's a clock on the back wall of the church up there above the organ. I can see it. And it is not there to tell us when the service is supposed to be over. Your wristwatch is not there to tell you when the service is supposed to be over. This is like everything else that is important in the world, and this is the most important thing in the world. It's going to take as long as it takes. That doesn't mean we slow it down to the point where it's tedious. We've all sat through an organist who plays the hymn too slow. You just know when too slow is too slow. That doesn't mean we slow it down, but it does mean we take our time. You take your time doing things that are important to you. You go out for your 25th wedding anniversary. Do you gobble down the meal in 10 minutes, pay the bill, and rush out? No. You take your time. You take your time doing things that are important, and Sunday morning is the most important thing you will do every week. It's the most important thing that God does for you every single week. So take your time doing it. There's no hurry. And that's why it's one of my pet peeves, pastors who hurry through, say, the Lord's Prayer, or worse yet, and look, some of the best pastors I've ever known have done this from time to time, hurry through the words of institution and the Lord's Supper. They don't hurry through their sermons. Boy, did they hurry through the words of Christ and the Lord's Prayer and the words of institution at the Lord's Supper, and it sends a message, a nonverbal message, that this is not that important, that we better get through this because the time's a waste in here. So my personal corrective to that is to slow down at those things and to let those things be slower than we ordinarily are, to emphasize their importance. So we say things that are important when you speak to your children, you speak to someone else, and you want them to completely understand what you're saying. You may even slow down to say it. These are important words, so we slow down. We don't hurry. Why pastors do this? It's a bad habit. I don't think there's any pastor worth his salt out there that thinks that the Lord's Prayer isn't important. If they do, they should be sent back to the oven of the seminary for further baking. They're half-baked. Those words are not unimportant, but it's a bad habit. And look, every pastor can fall into it. Things can become routine. And look, just you might just go up to your pastor and say, hey, pastor, you're in the Lord's Prayer. Slow down. You're going too fast for me. Slow down. And he'll get it. He'll understand exactly what you're saying. He's not a dummy. When we come back, we've got 10 more minutes of the Issues Etc. email from our Issues Etc. listeners and the Issues Etc. comment line as well. Then in hour two of Issues Etc., we'll be talking with Terry Mattingly about the murder of that priest in France and talking about the Democratic Convention with Mark and Molly Hemingway.
Operator, could you help me, please?
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Our Savior Lutheran, Pacifica, California. Messiah Lutheran, Danville, California. Faith Lutheran, Capistrano Beach, California. Grace Lutheran, San Mateo, California. Our Savior Lutheran, Grand Rapids, Michigan. St. Paul Lutheran, Hamel, Illinois. St. Paul Lutheran, Brookfield, Illinois. Grace Lutheran, Racine, Wisconsin. St. John's Lutheran, Mayville, Wisconsin. Prince of Peace Lutheran, Crestwood, Missouri. Faith Lutheran, Plano, Texas. St. Paul Lutheran, Austin, Texas. University Hills Lutheran, Denver, Colorado. St. John Lutheran, Topeka, Kansas. Peace Lutheran, Alma, Michigan. Zion Lutheran, Imperial, Nebraska. And Trinity Lutheran, St. Charles, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Your lifeline to the Lutheran worldview. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Many Lutheran pastors outside of the U.S. receive little or no seminary education. Luther Academy provides theological triage through conferences, books, and journals. Help support Luther Academy by making a tax-deductible donation at lutheracademy.com or call 260-452-2211. Serving Lutheran pastors to the ends of the earth, Luther Academy, 260-452-2211 or lutheracademy.com.
At Concordia University Irvine, you can pursue advanced theological study for academic, professional, or personal development. Concordia's Master of Arts in Theology program is grounded in the truth of Scripture and insights from the Lutheran Confessions. Courses are taught online and at intensive on-campus sessions in the summer. Apologetics, Christian education leadership, and Reformation studies are just a few of the emphases offered. For more information, visit cui.edu/theology.
Tell me why haven't I heard from you?
Why haven't I heard from you?
Tell me why.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd. Welcome on this Wednesday afternoon, July the 27th. We're going through listener email and the Issues Etc. comment line.
All right, so we've been through the arrow down email, the question mark email, to the... If you saw my writing, a circle with a C in the middle of the circle, just generic comments.
Right.
Not a question, not a criticism, just comments.
Just comments.
Thus the C.
Just comments.
Thus
That's
the C.
The third pile.
The third pile. And this comes from Michael in Strasburg, Illinois. Getting caught up on podcasts after being at the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod Convention, heard the interview with Terry Mattingly on terms for clergy. Terry mentioned the dictionary definition of evangelist as someone really enthused about a topic and gave the example of an Apple evangelist. Many years ago, my cousin worked for Microsoft and his job title was evangelist. he went to various conferences spreading the good news of cloud technology and instructing programmers and developers how to apply this good news to their programs and daily lives. So the term evangelist isn't just a general term for an enthusiast. It's a specific technical job title in the software industry, like manager or programmer or developer. Fun little bit of trivia I thought I'd share. Not sure how to pass it along to Mr. Mattingly, though. We'll do that for you, Michael. Thanks for listening in Strasburg, Illinois.
One of the things Terry was talking about there, I believe, was the AP style manual on evangelists. That's the Bible for American journalists. And basically says, this is what this word means, and this is how you ought to use this word when you use it in your reporting. And it's a way of standardizing definitions so that journalists don't just start making up their own definitions, because it can be confusing. And you're right. I mean, he was dealing there with the issue of a Muslim evangelist, or I think they called it a Muslim televangelist, and he was trying to figure out what that meant in a Muslim context. He determined that it was probably just a way of the reporter saying that this guy was not a good guy. He was a charlatan, calling him a televangelist. But we often talk about people being evangelists for certain causes. And what we mean is that they strongly promote it. The term, of course, in Christian parlance, different from that of the AP style manual, is going to be someone who preaches the gospel. So you say, well, where are the evangelists today? You got one in the pulpit every Sunday morning. Every single Sunday morning, there's one standing in front of you in the pulpit. That's your evangelist right there. You should be preaching the word of God to you in both law and gospel. That's what an evangelist is today.
This comes from Stanley. He says, have you guys considered doing a recurring segment like you're doing with Martin Luther and the Reformation with Dr. Sherb that goes in depth into the history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod? I just listened to Milestones in LCMS Convention History with Dr. Larry Rass and would love to have heard more about all of those milestones. Thanks for the program suggestions, Stanley.
That is a very good idea. We've done stuff like it before. We have done series that touch upon Lutheran Church Missouri Synod history. Certain personages. I don't think, if I recall, we've ever done a series that's just the history of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. I loved that conversation with Larry Rass that we did, even though it was about convention history. I mean, I can't think of something more boring and dry, but he managed to tell the story of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod in conventions all the way from the founding to the walkout, the big break in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, in a way that it made perfect sense. In all the education I got in the seminary, no one ever explained it that way to me before. I got an entirely new perspective on it. So I'm sure that's what you enjoyed about it.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
If you would have sent us that email before Larry Rass' email, it probably went to the trash can. Boring. History of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. Okay? I mean, I might like it, but let's face it, it doesn't have mass appeal. But that Larry Rass interview, which you can listen anytime, it's available on our website, on demand, issuesetc.org. Go to the on demand page, type in Dr. Larry Rass or LCMS Convention or what have you. After listening to that, I think it has potential.
You will learn more in that interview. If you don't know anything about the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod at all, you will learn more about the history of the Missouri Synod than you will in just about any other place. He masterfully covered all of it. So, great show suggestion. We will strongly consider that very idea. Is there anything else here?
Let's try to get one more email in. This comes from Paul. He said, had to go out and get some victuals before the weather got any worse, heat. I was standing at the deli counter wearing my Issues, etc. I Have Issues t-shirt when a man came up behind me. He went on to tell me that when he was a postal carrier that he listened to you regularly in the past. He raved about the programs and thought it was a shame that you were taken off the air. Well, about 10 or so minutes later, we had him clued into where you could be heard to include the internet and archive programs, etc. Every time I wear the I Have Issues t-shirt in public, I get a reaction. I guess I have to wear it more often. Thanks for wearing it, and thanks for your support, Paul.
Yeah, thank you very much, Paul. I think that's the reason why we have it. We got to give credit where credit is due. Karen Gabriel up in Wyoming? Yes, in Wyoming, was the originator of the I Have Issues t-shirt idea, and we've been using it ever since. That was, oh my goodness, that had to be 15 years ago at least, maybe even longer than that ago. We've been using it. People have been wearing them. The only way you can get one is to actually come by and visit the studio. We give them to everybody who walks in the doors of the studio, except the UPS guy or the FedEx guy. They don't get them. Listeners who visit, or when we play Issues Etc. soundbite of the week, when we come to the end of the broadcast week, we give one of them away to the listener with the best vote, or you join the Issues Etc. Reformation Club. I think that's another way you get the I Have Issues t-shirt. You can find out more about that at our website, issuesetc.org. Just click support, if I'm not mistaken. When we come back, it's hour two of Issues Etc. straight ahead on this Wednesday afternoon. Terry Mattingly is going to join us. He's a regular guest, senior fellow for media and religion at the King's College in New York City. He writes that on religion column for the Universal Syndicate, and he is founder and editor of GetReligion.org. We're going to talk about media coverage of the murder of the Catholic priest in France. Why was motive a question at the beginning of this story? And then we'll talk about the Democratic Convention with Mark Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and Molly Hemingway of the Federalist. Stay tuned.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Have you recently graduated from high school or college and are still making up your mind about your future career? Here's an opportunity to serve your neighbor through an extended, uniquely Lutheran service program. It's called the Lutheran Youth Corps. Find out more about the Lutheran Youth Corps at lcms.org/youthcorps. Life together through witness and mercy, the Lutheran Youth Corps, lcms.org/youthcorps.
The third commandment teaches us to remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. We do this when we hold God's word sacred and gladly hear and learn it. Jesus invites the weak and heavy laden to rest in him, our true rest, because his yoke is easy and his burden is light. This weekend, rest in Jesus as you hear his word and receive his gifts. If you are in Southern Illinois, you're invited to join Trinity Lutheran Church in Millstadt to rest in the grace of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Learn more at trinitymillstadt.org.